Welcome to Low Five Gaming. I am your favorite host, Luke, and here is my co-host and brother, Alex. Hello, sir. Introduce yourself.
Yo, what up, everybody? I am the superior Low Five host.
Yeah, I said it first. Hey, man. Thank you for joining us.
We're equally as important to the Low Five experience.
We are nothing without each other, says our mother. Anyway, thank you for joining us once again on whatever the fuck day that you have decided to listen to. Regardless, we are happy to have you. This is our backlog book club, and we're happy to have you, man. What's up?
We are indeed. You know, just my fingers hurt. My biceps are throbbing. Oh, my climbing gear is dirty.
Oh, I was like, from what, dog?
Yeah, from summiting that fucking tower, dude.
No doubt. So our game is Jusant. French little climbing game, which is, you know, you make the climber joke. It's funny that, you know, video games are this window into different worlds. I hate climbing, and I hate rock climbing specific. I have never like that gym class rope.
Not a fan.
Was like, cool, dude. I get to be fat today. Like basketball, could play it, kickball, good time. The teacher got that rope out, and I was like, oh, you're a piece of shit today, dude. Cool.
I'll dox him. Mr. Zwack was like, climb this rope, and I was like, you climb this rope, Mr. Zwack. You would not climb that rope.
Once a year, a kid got detention or a slap on the wrist for telling, because he would like mock kids for not being able to climb this rope, but he had a robust belly. So once a year, indeed, a kid would be the legend of their class and tell them to get his fat ass upon the rope. But I digress.
I like that, dude. But that rope shit was not the kid. Yeah, the kid's probably fine, too. Talking about this as well. He's all right.
Yeah. So climbing, dude, not a huge fan. Even in games, I find oftentimes it is the lame part of the game. So when you make the whole game about said mechanic, is it going to be any good? Not to spoil the pod, but yeah, it's real good. I like it.
Dude, just to throw another, like, some more personal background flavor in this. Mm-hmm. We were adventuring in Costa Rica. This is my adult life. You were there too, bro. Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Adventuring in the sense that's what they call it when you go out on a little outing and, you know, the locals bring you around different places. You do silly
Riding
stuff like
donkey and
dude, zipline was dope. The horse didn't like me. So they had to bring me another horse, but that's neither here nor there. I think I'm like a big dude. I'm pretty sure that horse was like, what's up with this thick boy? I didn't sign up for this
horse
today.
Was on The Simpsons. He'd be like, dude, I'm 2 days from retirement. I'm not doing this.
Dude, for real. But
he's
the
like,
end
I'll
of
the lady.
Dude, the zip line, all that stuff, like this, like, I don't know, like the kayaking stuff, money. And then they finish this thing off with a rock climb. And boy, I am not, that is not what I signed up for. I was like, I hate climbing. I'm not afraid of heights, but I'm not like into heights in my adult life. I could do without. And we're climbing this thing. I don't have a lot of experience rock climbing. And good for you. If you're a rock climber, you go do that rock climbing shit, like power to you.
No,
not for me.
At the gym,
not for me.
It's a great workout, I'm sure. But I'm not about it. And you will not get us to join your rock climbing cult. But continue.
Intense forearms. Like, good for you. Like, that's awesome. But here's the deal, dude. So I'm climbing. I don't really know what I'm doing. I get about, very key important part of this story is we got lit the night before, dude. Like, we woke up early for this thing. I was probably still drunk. Had way too much drink prior to, and I'm way overexerting myself on the side of this cliff.
Yeah, it was an all-inclusive stay thing for our oldest brother's wedding. So, like, did I get as lit? No, but was I probably in the best condition at any point in time? No, but continue.
I'm about 3/4 way up this thing, just dying. I'm like, you know what? I can't. I'll just fall off this. I don't care. And then I realized.
I just went limp.
Kind of like I'm probably. You know, four. I'm almost there, dude. Just a little bit way left, and I just didn't have it. I just didn't have it in me. And it's like, I was just there. The dude's like, "You're almost there." I'm like, "Nah, dude, I'm done." And then he's like,
"Made us do it."
And was that a choice? It was a choice, wasn't it?
Dude, it was a choice, and I wasn't going to do it because I just know I wouldn't like it. So Ellie made me do it, and she sprang up that wall like a spider monkey. Like, it was insulting.
Dude, she killed it. I mean, good for her.
No, she flew up that thing. She's like, that was fun. And like the dudes, they have you on a harness because they don't want us to fucking die.
Mm-hmm.
And they help you out a little bit. So they're helping me out a little bit. And then I'm not moving anymore. And I was like, hey, a little help. They're like, no, we are. I was like, bro, I'm cooked.
Yeah. To pull me up. Dude, that happened to me too. The last like fifth of that thing that is hoisting me up there. Like, and you know what I did, dude? I went straight to the bathroom and threw up everywhere. I just overexerted myself. Not everywhere. I was clean about it. I was very good, but I did, yeah, dude. I got sick. I was like, I couldn't believe it. Oh man.
So now that we have our athletic prowess and rock climbing prowess out of the way, we are indoor types. We are outdoorsy types, but I just feel like rock
climbing. He's not going to catch me climbing anything, dude. That's for Alex Arnold shit. I'm Alex fucking lo-fi, bro.
Yeah, sure. That's just a different level of shit. And God bless you, but I don't have that upper body strength. But Jusant
was tight.
Is the French word for the receding tide, I believe.
Oh, and there you go. Yeah, good job looking that one up.
They tell you that the first thing.
Or reading it in the game.
It's just whether or not you remember.
It is. Okay.
But you know, the French, the Frenchiness, it is a French/Canadian studio. Don't nod. I think they're officially out of France, but I think they're split into Montreal as well. It is a
French Canadians. Shout out to our Canadian fans.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. We did this for you guys. All right. It is a climbing adventure explorer simulator. And I say that because like they all drop what they say it is in a second. They're very much a climbing sim. No doubt about that. Like the main mechanic of the game is climbing, and the climbing feels and just plays really great. Like it's a cool game. It's really that exploration in the game is really, really cool. So I think that was a huge highlight from them. They have a very simple little 2-sentence deal. They first just say, Jusant is a brand new action puzzle climbing game and a meditative journey to the top of a tall tower. Keeping it brief, shouts out. Apparently, they're not doing a pod on their own game. And then challenge at your own pace. Explore different paths and unravel the secrets from a bygone civilization. I didn't know there was different paths. And now that I think about it, there's times where I'm like, am I supposed to be going over there or over here? And I was like, it doesn't matter. And the puzzle is kind of just how are you interacting with the rock face. And so like if you're thinking, oh, I'm not into puzzle games, it's not. It's just a really chill, vibey, fun climbing, exploring game.
I would say more of a brain teaser than a puzzler, you know, because there are definitely points where you look at the side of the cliff or whatever, the tower is what they refer to it in the game. You look at the side of this thing, and you're like, well, how am I going to get up there? And I mean, you got to jump around, like, try some stuff.
How am I going to get over this fight? You don't call a game a fight puzzler. It's just you're fighting a cliff with your rocking equipment.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I kind of scoffed at the puzzleness, but I love the game. So that's not really. I'm just getting into the weeds about my description of what it is.
There's some silly stuff that I would say you could. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not a puzzle game. There's some silly things you do. You flip certain switches, and
we'll get into it later. But do you hate the toe monster more or the windmill more now?
Ooh,
I think the toe monster will go down in lo-fi lore as the worst enemy of all enemies. But that windmill had you pretty heated.
It did, dude. I almost dropped this game because of the windmill.
More on that later. You see that fucking tease? We shouldn't be a podcast. We should be a radio show. But anyway. More about Don't Nod, the French studio that came out with this game. They are an independent video game developer and publisher based in Paris and Montreal, creating a powerful and immersive narrative experiences. And they've been around since 2008. So other titles that you may have known, this isn't even their most famous game. The Life is Strange 1 and 2 are pretty big cultural games. So that would definitely be the biggest.
Right.
Looking at the little like screenshots of the different games, it appears as if they're working in the same engine for a lot of these, and the engine's very pretty. They're kind of famous for like the walking sim narrative type game. Is that fair?
It is indeed.
You know, looking through the website, it's a nice little website here, and it's just like they're very much about like gaming impact and like telling emotional stories, and this game delivers on that, although far more subtly. So I guess to lead us off, why did you salt? You were giving me a lot of hype. It dropped on the Game Pass. It's probably, you know, the last game I'll play on Game Pass for a while because I'm dropping it. But Game Pass, you know, we've talked a lot, played Gris on there. I'll still call it Gris. Grease. We've been playing a lot of really good, like, indie games, and this is just another one where I just love that they threw this one on there. And you were really hype about it. You were really excited. I remember seeing it in the Nintendo Direct. Or was that in the... No, it was in the Xbox's little showcase a while ago. And I was like... that looks like Breath of the Wild type shit. I'm into that. And I was excited to play it since then. Came out later. A lot of encouragement for you. And then other media, I won't name all the different podcasts I heard it on, but it was at least like three separate podcasts were like, I love this game. So I was like, got to give it a shot. Instantly loved it. And then instead of getting caught up in all the other different games I was playing, I was like, if I make this the pod of the month, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to really be happy about that. And that is definitely what came true. What drew you, sir, to Jusant, other than the fact I made you finish it?
Yeah, I had forgotten about that, but you're right. It was part of that Xbox showcase. So I think that's where I first saw, you know, that was the first time that it was introduced to me. And I thought it looked pretty cool then, but it wasn't really on my radar. But the way I kind of approached Game Pass is often if there's a game that drops that looks kind of interesting, I will stream it. Like just, you know, I won't download it, but I'll check it out real quick to see what's going on with it. And this one was really charming, dude. It was, it's chill, dude. There's parts that can be frustrating, but the whole climbing thing was it really did feel the way that their short explanation, you know, that's kind of meditative. You're kind of just making your way through. It was a nice, for me, it was a nice back burner game. You know, it was a nice game to have going on with the other stuff I was doing at the time, just play little spurts of it. And I was like, dude, you got to check this out. This is, I did not think, you know, we just told our stories about how shitty climbing is. So I didn't think that you know, I'd be super into a climbing sim, but this one's just done in such a way that it had just enough going on with it where I was like, you know, this game's pretty tight. Like, you got to check this out. I'm glad that we did.
Yeah, it's like the landscapes are incredibly pretty and the environment is pretty incredibly pretty. And like the world building is really cool. Like this, you're in this tower in the desert and you're slowly climbing up this tower. And it's like pretty clear that the tower has been abandoned. And as you go up, like people lived on different levels of it. And the whole Jusant is like a receding tide, as previously briefly mentioned, but people would live in different areas of the tower up and down, depending on how high the tide was. So like you're seeing different parts of a civilization. So all that was just like really cool. And that's kind of what I meant by exploring. Like, as I played it, I was like, this game's really cool in just like walking around it. And that's the meditative part. But it's also like, it really scratches an itch that Breath of the Wild did. And it's a completely different game other than the climbing. But like the mechanics of climbing, we can get into that briefly. You have the right trigger and the left trigger, and it's just your left hand and your right hand. And you can swing off of your little harness like you anchor. I don't know, the pinions or whatever the climbing term is.
It's a piston.
It's just a piston.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's something I should have been able to pronounce. Moving forward. And yeah, like Uncharted has like climbing, but it's kind of obvious and it's kind of just a cool down from point A to point B. And it also just gets you to stop and look around and pretty. So the comparisons are kind of fair. Death Stranding, just like what I did like about a very goofy game that was, what I really did like is sometimes I just love the challenge of getting to point A to point B and like interacting with the terrain. This game did that really cool. And just like going up a wall felt very much like Breath of the Wild and exploring these environments and like this abandoned, like little, not even a town, because they're just little outposts almost. It was just really cool. What would you say on any of that?
You know, it's interesting you bring up Breath of the Wild, because climbing in Breath of the Wild and in turn Tears of the Kingdom it's fun, right? But what's interesting, if you juxtapose the two games against each other, is that even though I wouldn't say climbing in Zelda is difficult, like climbing in Jusant is easier. Like it's made very approachable. Like you do have a stamina bar, but like they make it, you're set up for success. Like there's definitely a challenge, right? So you can't fall, you can't die in this game.
Damage, no enemies.
And if you run out of stamina, you basically just go back to wherever you know placed your piston or wherever the climb that little piece of the climb started, just to, you know, and then you try a different route. And I think that part of it was really cool too. Like I love lots of different types of games, and you know, we're just coming off of Greece, which is another interesting one where you can't die. But like this genre of games that's kind of pushing you to explore and pushing you to interact with a game that, you know, obviously there's a ton of games out there that don't punish the player for doing things. But like, you know, if you look at a traditional, like if you were to ask someone who's not maybe involved with video games, you know, what they think of video games, they might think of a 2D side scroller like Mario, where you can easily die and you have to start over. So it's really interesting to have a game like this where you're kind of pushed to make it to the summit. over the course of the time. And I thought that part of it was really cool, man. I thought it was like an interesting experience.
Yeah, it's very much like an evolved walking sim, which is used as like a derivative term almost by some, but then eventually just became an endearing acceptance of, no, this is game and they're cool. And it's just the way, it's really just about moving around an environment, which just sounds so simple, but like the environment's so pretty and cool to explore. And like, I've a lot of episodes I talk about whether or not a game I'm just going to listen to a podcast or not. And if I'm just going to be in a more vegetative state when I play the game. In this game, it was kind of like, I wouldn't listen to a podcast, but I wouldn't like have the volume up really loud. I just kind of like soaked it in. And that's where that meditative really comes in, is like, you're just kind of walking around like these ruined areas or these really cool like artifacts that you're stumbling into. And you piece together little things. It's a narrative. Like the storytelling is done passively through these journal logs, which, you know, if you've been listening, this isn't the brainiest pod. We weren't reading those very good, if at all, but we definitely read an explainer afterwards.
Right. Those are cool little bits. That's not what I was looking for in this particular experience.
It added a ton of flavor, and people who are into it are super into it, and they should be. It's just you and I, I'll speak to me more directly. Like, it felt as a really great cooldown. Like, I'd play something stupid before this game, and then like the last half an hour, hour before I'd go to bed, I'd play this and it'd feel really relaxed and like just in a different mode before I went to bed.
He's talking about Madden again?
Or like Madden or something else. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But like, you know, I said the same thing about Grist too, I believe, though, where like I liked to finish a gaming session with that, where it's not an addictive gameplay. It's not like combat or anything like that. There's no tension, I think is the word I'd use for it. Whereas this was just like a very nice low tension, beautiful experience to kind of
It was definitely immersive, man. I think that it was interesting because it's one of those games where the graphics is 3D, you know, third person, and it has this, you know, kind of cell shaded thing going on. Not even cell shaded. I guess it would be. But anyways, you're climbing, and you know, we've mentioned this, they call it the tower in the game. But this thing, it's not even fair to call it a tower, dude. It's a massive, like huge, like it goes so far into the sky that you can't see the top, that type of deal. It's huge.
Skinny mountain.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally. So it is a tower, but that almost belittles like the size of this thing. And you're climbing up it. You have no idea how far it is. There's six chapters in total. And like each stretch of the climb, there's different environments in each of these chapters. And, you know, as you progress, you enter a different part of this tower, which is really cool because the environment shifts quite a bit. But I think in like that first three chapters, you're moving up and you're looking over, and we didn't mention quite yet, but it's definitely like a post-apocalyptic feel. Like you mentioned did you say Jusant's rising tide or receding tide? What did you say it was?
It's a receding tide, yeah.
Yeah, so there's water's a big part of this game and the story part of this game, right? So you look around and it's like this desert area. And I found myself quite often in those first three chapters, just stopping and look like gazing out over the barren wasteland and looking at the abandoned ships. And like, that was just like a cool, like, you know, you spoke to the world building a little bit, and it doesn't force feed it to you. It's something that I think it really like seeps in. And like, I think that part of it was really cool. Right. And you can really feed into that if you're reading those stories that were left behind by like, what's her name? what do we got here?
I only know from reading
Bianca
afterwards.
So Bianca, like I read some of those. I skimmed most of them. Sure. So basically, it's the people that came before you, right? So Bianca was the one that was leaving a lot of these letters, and that gave you an idea of this. You know, that really fed into this idea of the water. Like, from what I gathered, these people, like, there was no water, so people started going up the tower, and then I don't know, man. At some point, like, people started going down the tower, but there's no people, dude. There's no you're doing this thing all by yourself.
They used to go up and down with the tide receding.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
No, and then one thing that kind of plays into what you were mentioning is just like kind of the vibey storytelling is like you pick up. So some of the weird little mechanics is like, so you find the little letters, you read those. Sometimes there's just like a pile of rocks. There's got to be like an official term for like those little like kind of pile of rocks where it's just like almost like a sculpture, and you just add another rock to it, and that's just like a fun little like, hey, you found this,
right? It's called a rock cairn.
There we go. Look at this dude in his research. But lastly, there's like the nice, like the large seashells or conches that you pick up and you listen to. And it kind of like, it essentially, instead of you hearing the ocean, it holds the memory of a time past. And you just kind of see like this little vignette almost of what was going on in that area that the conches left behind. And I thought that was like cool, moody, and artsy.
It was cool. It was in a loop, which I thought was weird because I would sit there.
Yeah,
tripped
you out a few times. Yeah, yeah. You're like, okay, so it's done. Yep. And that's soft brain moment from us. That's for sure.
I think it was like, you know, we were talking on the graphics a little bit. It's a beautiful game, but I don't think it would be as successful without the ambiance of the music. You know, the music in this game.
It's cool.
It's like there's not. It's not like something I would listen to the OST. I wouldn't go out of my way to listen to the soundtrack. Not that it's bad.
It's not like a major score or anything.
Right.
But it works.
Right. Yeah. It works super well with what you're doing, which is cool. I think this game wouldn't be as good as it is without the music.
No, not at all. The music and the sound design are both pretty cool. And you definitely get that when you go into the different chapters. Like I remember bemoaning to you when you first get into the. So you're outside of the tower for the first three chapters. And then in chapter four, you're like inside the tower. So it was like these kind of like these glowy cave vibes. And it was jarring at first because I kind of liked being outside and the big bright sunniness. And some of the game mechanics were actually cool. Like if you were in the blistering sun, your guys, I don't actually know if there's a gender there. Your person's stamina meter would deplete more rapidly.
Yep.
And like you do these little kind of, how do you even describe those inputs where it kind of like, has like an environmental response. So you like press up on your D-pad and there's almost like a pulse and like different things in the environment will respond to you. Like a vine will grow or a plant will do something for you to grab as a whole. Yeah.
Because this game's not heavy handed, like it's kind of hard to explain, but you end up finding this little companion along the way, right? You don't have a whole bunch of, at least I didn't pick up what the story was behind it, but you end up pretty early on meeting this little companion that you throw on your back.
Is it not with you the whole time?
Perhaps. It's a while ago when we started.
Always with you.
If it was always with you, that's dope too. I know it's right at the beginning, but it gives you a couple extra powers. You press the directional button on the D-pad to see, it shows different colored circles to give you a little cue on like what areas to, here's something to interact with. Here's where you're supposed to be headed. But then the other thing is it's almost like this aura like boost thing that shoots out. And that's what I bring it up because when you do that, that will interact with different environment things. It almost gives life to things on the mountain, right? Mm-hmm. Or the tower rather. And so they're like almost like flowers or plants where you hit that little magical little burst and they show up. And when it's not in direct sunlight, they'll stay. But in the direct sunlight areas, they start to wither away. So it's a time thing. Kind of interesting little things like that going on with the environment.
So then you're in the cave and I love the glowy vibes after initially feeling stifled by it. I think the cave civilization was just like really beautiful type of looks and the little floating jellyfish. Don't know what that means as far as how you have air floating jellyfish, but it looked cool. It's a video game. All right. And then lastly, your second to last chapter, when you get out of the cave, you're like, whoa, it's very different up here.
Right.
Before you get to the final chapter, which I won't necessarily.
Yeah, we'll let people know. We'll talk about the final chapter, but we'll let folks know when that's happening so they can, because it is that's a spoiler-iest part. Yeah.
Yeah. So to dive into more of that exploratory feeling as these abandoned buildings and things within the tower, like you also have these giant murals that you're kind of uncovering. And did you like finding?
Maybe you were.
You didn't
I uncovered one. They show your stats at the end of the game, and I only did one. Something I totally missed, except for the one.
Did you never just hit the pulse near him, or did you literally never run into him?
I hit one, dude. I just didn't hit the pulse near them, and then towards the end, I was like, oh, I wonder if I hit the pulse next to this, and then I got it.
Saw them, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not you activated them. Okay. I thought you never even found them. I was like, dude, what game are you
playing? No. I would look at them. I just didn't take the time to interact with them, which I'm, you know, is one of those things. But I will say that, you know, at the end of the game, it's cool because it allows you, even though if you miss things, if you're a completionist, they let you go back to each chapter to collect whatever you want to collect.
Yeah, there's like this spinny temple thing that was really cool to activate. Did like at least two of those, maybe more. Mm-hmm. Those are cool. And it's just that exploratoriness. Like some of my favorite games, like not just Breath of the Wild, but like any Zelda game, I'm like the environment and going through it and just adventuring and palling around. Like that's been around since the 2D for other people, but for me as a kid, like since Ocarina of Time. So like I thought of that game a lot, oddly enough, when I was playing this game, because it's like one of the only other games I can really think of where I was so happy to be in an environment, if that makes sense. Like I guess Assassin's Creed taps into that for a different reason, but like just exploring and working your way through and climbing up these different structures and swinging on your little what do you even call that rope? Just your rope.
Yeah, your rope.
Swinging on your rope, but it just felt really good. It was a really cool game. Anything you didn't like about a game?
And it had a double jump, bro. That's how you know it's a good game.
Kind of had the double jump. Is that when you use the environmental thingies to carry you up?
No, well, I mean, it's not like a double jump in the sense of like Hollow Knight or something where you jump on random air and you get higher, but you can jump and you tap. You probably did it a bunch without realizing it, but you jump and then you jump again. Your character like does another burst off the cliff. It helps you get a little further.
Something that makes you kind of tell that this isn't from like a massive studio is like, did you ever get a situation where your person was kind of caught up in the environment and like literally couldn't move, or you're briefly stuck or almost like frozen or like stuck on an asset?
Yeah, 100%, man.
You jump onto something and it wouldn't actually let you get off of it, and you're like literally kind of frozen there for a bit.
Usually just when I was poking around in caves trying to figure out where I was going and stuff, because I would try jumping on areas that wouldn't let me through, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because that jank was not exactly my favorite. And then other than that, the floor is yours for the windmill, my guy.
Dog, I was enjoying this game. It is such nice flow. When you're hitting that climbing flow, you feel like Alex Honnold, dude. You're like just scaling up a mountain like a beast. It's dope. And then I spent a solid probably an hour of my life. Not one sitting. It's the only part of the game where I got so frustrated that I like had to take a break, and I would come back to it, and I had to come back maybe on the fourth time. I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna figure out what's going on with the walkthrough and what to do in this spot. There's a spot in maybe chapter 3 or 4 where you encounter this windmill. It's
3.
Yeah. And it was probably halfway through our playthrough, halfway through the month, and I didn't even want to continue. I was like, this game was great, now it sucks. Can't even deal with it.
Crazy is like right before, like in that whole thing, like you're climbing up this really cool set piece, mm-hmm. and you're working your way up on the side of the cliff, and it's really cool. And then like you look over and you're like, am I supposed to land on that? And then you try to do it as you swing over to it, and it's like, no, that's not it. But you were, but you're like, that's not it. And then you try to do this ginormous swing like all the way across, and you're like, this spacing isn't right. Like this isn't working. And like you, I spent way too long doing it. And then in this game, you can't exactly like, I'm a weirdo. I don't like watching video game guides when I'm stuck on something. I'd rather quickly read what the solution is. But with the modern content creation, it definitely skews heavier towards the video. But in this game, like good luck reading about what to do next. Would that make any sense, dude?
Well, I was, you know, sometimes I take
a video and I was like, that fucking windmill, I knew I should have fucking grabbed it. It was so
sad. And I'm not above a guy, dude. It just kind of depends on what vibe I'm going for. And in this game, it's so approachable that I was enjoying not needing a guide, not using a guide. And like you say, it doesn't really present itself to a guide. There are chapter breaks, but you'd have to get pretty like granular about this. I was able to find it because I just looked up. I was like, you know what? This is so ridiculous. I'm sure there's a bunch of other people having the same problem. So I Googled Jusant windmill, and sure enough, like there was some videos that was able to scrub through and find out what was going on. And it was just one of those dumb little things. Cause like you were kind of saying, I had tried a whole bunch of different stuff, and it's just frustrating in the sense that this game did such a good job of having multiple different ways to approach, you know, multiple different solutions for whatever, you know, climbing problem you've been given. For this one to be so ridiculous and like, I don't know, I just feel like that was a misstep. I feel like there could have been a couple other ways to get around that windmill.
I didn't make you do the pod and you never would have finished.
This is true. If we weren't doing this for the pod, I probably would have been like, you know what, I'm good on this game. I think I got what I needed out of it. But I'm very glad that I did figure that out, because chapters 5 and 6 are very strong. The caves were cool, but 5 and 6 I thought were short but super cool.
Well, 6 is like 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it's dope.
It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very cutscene heavy.
Well, I think with that, why don't we, for the folks that want to play this game and want to have those final chapters unspoiled, come back at the Alex will insert a time here mark.
33:36. That's 33:36.
It's a soft spoiler wall because really I read about it and I kind of get what was going on. I read about what I was supposed to read in those notes.
Sure.
And the water was gone as we knew.
Mm-hmm.
And these big old whale creatures that you start seeing in the murals, it turns out your little homie on your back is a baby version of one of those.
Right. And they're called ballasts.
Yeah, I did read a note about how people were arguing whether or not they should hunt them or not and how that's going to be helpful or not. And they seem to be like godlike creatures. But you get up and like when you get out of the caves, it's like intensely windy and you're like rainy and you're in this like crazy cloud-like atmosphere. And then you keep going up and at the top, like how would you describe the top, chapter 6?
It's wild, dude. You go from like everything's really green, rainy, windy, like you said in 5, and then you get to the next point, which is 6, and it's almost ethereal. But here's the big spoiler part, dude, is you run in to one of those ballasts, and it's a very, for those of the folks that have watched like Star Wars Rebels or some of the different Star Wars cartoons or even some of the new Star Wars live action, they're basically just big purgles, dude. So those huge flying whales that can jump through hyperspace. It's like basically the same thing, but it's dope. It's these big mythical creatures. I
forgot about that thing, how that you got to jump and grab onto it.
Right. And that was a really cool scene, dude. And you climb on that.
Dude.
It was wild. This whole game's like kind of chill. And then you're flying through the sky on this big whale, dude. It was dope.
I was like, I don't know what I'm playing anymore, but this shit is fucking dope.
Yeah, dude. You climb through that and it lands. It lands and there's a big crater at the top of the tower. Crash lands. Yeah, exactly. Almost like it's hard to say. Might even die or looks like it dies. But then there's another tower, another big tower. Not like a
ritual tower thing.
Mm-hmm. Like it looks so you run down to that.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of cool. And the different, you know, there's different
things. We never mentioned, but you'd be blowing these horns up the cliff as you go. And it's like this ceremonial thing and like the environment responds to it. It doesn't matter. But you do it at the top of there.
Right.
You got to give it your mightiest little thing. It's not going to go. And your little squishy homie is like dying.
Yeah, dude, it's sad.
I know. I was like, what? Why? And then, though, you blow real good. And then all the whales come out of the dust or something. And they're all like, what is up? And you're like, what is up? And like, you save the world, I think. Whatever. I don't know.
It starts raining again, bro. The water comes back.
They all come up and the water's back. And I was like, yeah.
All the purgles go into space and the rain comes.
That was fucking cool. Kind of like Gris, where I was like, I don't know what this is about. But that was fucking cool. I like had that like with Gris. I was like, I don't know what this is about, but it seems like some drama or something. When this game, I was like, I don't know what that was about, but it was fucking cool. Say like what would you rate this game, and then eventually we were like we like most of the games that we play, so then it becomes who specifically is this game for. You want to go first or should I lead off?
Go ahead, bro.
That's the pregnant pause, dude. I was like, whoa, what does he have cooking here? I would recommend this to everybody who already has Game Pass without any doubt. I think it's pretty awesome for almost any type of gamer. I would definitely say older gamers, as in above 25. And I don't think someone younger shouldn't play. I just think that you would have patience and respect for something like this more so when you're a little bit, but not too dramatically older. And then lastly, I think because of its ease and its lack of tension and all those things, kind of like a new gamer. Like, I think Life is Strange pulls in a lot of newer gamers or non-traditional gamers. I think this game's awesome. So if it goes on sale, do you know what the price point even is? I don't know. I'm going to check that super quick. It shouldn't really matter, but usually with games, like, I don't love recommending like super expensive games that aren't very long to a lot of people, but like
$5.
$25, I'd say that's well worth it for how pretty and awesome it is. If it ever goes on even like a gentle sale, it's a pretty aggressive full send. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I, like you said, if you're on Game Pass, definitely check it out. It's worth, even honestly, the first 20 minutes to 30 minutes, it's fun. Dude,
yeah.
There's a teaser running right now that shows that swing to the windmill.
I looked like, up the price. They're like, we've done our best trying to let you soft brains know.
Oh man, that's something else, dude. I like kind of what you said. To be honest, I think even though there's some there's not really that complicated mechanics, but I think that it teaches you. It does a good job. It does a good job though of telling you how to use the buttons and what your stuff is, and you get into good flow, like of hitting the triggers to climb up. So a lot of games kind of just expect you to know that you're using the triggers to do this, where I think at the very beginning they do a good job of explaining how to climb, what you're doing, and how to look around. So yeah, I think for you know, if you're new to gaming, I think it's worth checking out. Like, I don't think it's necessarily, I think it's for a little bit for everybody, you know. But I think that I would go into it. Yeah, I think, you know, I also think that I'd be really interested to know the completion rate of this game. It's not a long one. It's about 10 hours. I'd say it took me about 10 hours to beat, right around there, 10 or 11. But I would love to look at some of the stats on how many people complete it, because I do think it doesn't overstay its welcome, but like it doesn't. And maybe it's because I wasn't super invested in the story, but I feel like it doesn't have a super driving force. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's kind of why it's like a side game or like a companion game for me. So if like, maybe dude, if you're playing Elden Ring or like one of those games where you're really bashing your head against a wall, maybe you should play a little bit.
Dude. And I think that is what my recommendation would be. Then it would be it's not one that I would say, hey, go out and play this game. You need to play Jusant. Like, I think I do think that people should check it out. I think it's a really pretty, awesome, fun, you know, it's a fun hang, but I like having it be a back burner game, dude. I think it's like one of those games that like you do to decompress, or if you're just looking to put you into your different mind space, that kind of thing.
Or if you have open world fatigue, which is like a gamer thing where like,
it's true.
You'll get into it in your one more thing, but like, I don't know, a lot of people are real excited with the sale.
That's a different vibe, dude. We do Hogwarts side question.
Yeah. The Hogwarts Legacy, but like, that's like, I have a little bit of open world fatigue, so that game just does nothing for me.
Sure.
So like a game like this, I'm just like, hell yeah, dude. Give me like a nice linear fucking exploring game, dude. It's fucking sick. I do like that part about it too, man.
I love a good linear game, and this one is a good linear game. I love that it's not I love that it didn't punish me for not collecting everything or seeing everything, but it, you know,
it was very
rewarding
easy to let go of that compulsion to do everything. It was very easy for me to let go, and I like that.
Right.
I appreciated that.
so yeah, I guess that's kind of it. That's like a loose, like, I don't, you know, it doesn't have a screaming like you need to go out and play Jusant, but I think you really might like it.
Yeah, I did not put together a formal list of my top games played this year, but it would be top five.
That's dope, stretch,
but I should say last year. We're in 24 right now.
Yes, sir. Well, with that, why don't we take a little break and hear from our unsanctioned sponsor?
All right. So what do you got, dog? Who's bringing us the spot today? Who's paying these metaphorical bills?
Yo, you want to know who's not giving us any money at all to put on this podcast, but is making it happen?
Because we love it so much and it motivates us and moves us forward.
I want you to imagine you're playing basketball.
I'm worried.
I want you to imagine that you're down by 3 points with 3 seconds left.
And I was like, this is getting weird.
With 3 seconds left.
Okay.
And I want you to put up a shot from 22 feet away from the basket.
Okay.
All right.
A 3-pointer, perhaps.
But I want you to imagine that the year is 1979. And it is pre-October 12th, 1979. Do you win that game? You make the basket.
The 3-point line was instated in the NBA.
Dude, this episode is unofficially brought to you in part by the 3-point line.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Dog, you know you love the 3-point line. No one trying to play basketball without a 3-point line. Yes, dude. It is so dope.
Really? What one? Yes. Have you been watching any basketball, or is this just from 2K?
I have been playing less 2K, but this is specifically about the 3-point line. And there are things about 2K that we can maybe talk about with 3-point line. But you playing basketball? Do you try to play basketball without a 3-pointer? Without that 3-point shot? You try to watch basketball without a 3-point shot?
Yeah, actually, I kind of miss when people would do something other than jack up threes. I am not co-signing this. I'm not co-signing this unsanctioned sponsor. I will come up with my own bootleg underground unsanctioned sponsor that will go right after this one, because just like how the shift made baseball really boring, jacking up 3-pointers made basketball a little harder to watch.
You're talking about modern NBA, and you're not wrong. The game has changed. People's physiques have changed, and the 3-point, it's a little too overpowered now, because everybody can make a 3-point.
They mathed it up, dude. No, they did. Not even that. They just mathed it up. It's just 3 is better than 2, so why would you ever shoot 2-pointers? They mathed it up. I don't like math. I was never good at math. That's why I'm doing a podcast about video games. I'm not good at math.
But I'm talking about specifically something that happened.
This man
to LeBron James not too long ago.
All right.
And I'm talking about the 3-point line coming
through
the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay. I was like, all right, I'm back on, baby. I'm back.
Dog, you can have your gripes at the 3-point line. That makes sense. But you know what? Watching a good 3-point contest, fun. And you know what? That shift, pretty dope. And you bring up 2K. Here's the deal, man. You can play. Speaking of GOATs, we got Michael Jordan 2K23. We got the Mamba in 2K24. But you can do some Jordan stuff. And this was the NBA gets October 12th, 1979 or some shit like that. That was when the first 3-point shot was made in the NBA. Got that? Mm-hmm. The rule changed around that same time. What's that?
Who made it?
That was Chris Ford of the Boston Celtics. But here's the deal, though. In college didn't have the 3-point line around the same time. So the NBA brought it first, right? So you can play all those, like the Jordan stuff in 2K23. And there's a couple of those old games you can play. And dude, that game, it is weird playing a game of basketball without the 3-point line.
Even the college 3-point line is smaller than the NBA 3-point line.
Totally.
As an adult who doesn't work out anymore, I've been during my prep hours, I've been sneaking down to the gym because I'm tight with the gym teacher homie. What's good? And they just kind of have like an open gym hour. So I just be shooting some hoops with some kids. I humbled one this one time, but I usually don't do anything other than shoot around. It was nice, but man, you really need your legs under you to shoot 3-pointers.
And you need to get that toe off the line, bro.
You do need to get your toe. They had some excellent memes about the new LeBrons coming out and it's these shoes with this ridiculous curve going up. And I didn't understand it because I didn't get it, like a recap on what happened at the end of that game for a while. And then when I got the recap, I'm like, these memes are great. So yes, le toe. Leto, not LeBron. You're a goon, dude.
3-pointers.
Thank you.
You're right, though. It changed the game. It's led to new scoring records of the NBA. You got Ray Allen, Stephen Curry, shooting chasms. You got Ray Allen, Stephon Curry. You got Ray Allen, Stephon Curry.
Wardell.
Who?
Steph Curry's name is Wardell Stephen Curry. Did you know
that? I did not know that. This episode is unofficially brought to you in part by 3-point lines and Wardell
and fuck LeBron. Go Timberwolves. Let's go. Number one in the West.
I love it. I love it.
All right, welcome back from the break. I'm going to go first because I'm so excited to tell you about all the time I spend laying in my bed playing with my Steamy D.
Ooh, sniffing it too?
Huh?
You sniff it too?
Dude, I sniff my Steamy D every time I play it. And that article that came out telling me that apparently they told me not to sniff my Steamy D, I'm like, I'm just validated other people be sniffing they Steamy Ds. So get it, everyone. Let's inhale together. I would just like to say that when I play with my Steamy D, I lay a boppy for the parents out there. A boppy is, you know, a baby holding pillow. It is a toilet U-shaped deal. I put one on my back and then I put one around my big old belly into front and then I rest my little forearms and I play with my Steamy D and I get all nuzzled in and it's pretty great, dude. Right.
You double bopping and playing with your Steamy
D? Double bopping, dude. The amount of times that I've almost shirtlessly sent you little videos of my titties busting out as I lay with my double boppies playing with my Steamy D at night laying in bed. It's great. I have been playing Marvel Midnight Suns, which has been fairly acclaimed as being a great game. Lost. It came out at the very end of 2022, correct? So it was basically a 2023 game, but way more famous games continued to come out in 2023. And Marvel's got a little bit of a rut going on. People got a lot of really big, heavy MCU fatigue, which is fine. This isn't in the MCU. And three, I think that it's not a game for too many normies. I don't think it's too crunchy by any means, but it's not like a shooter. It's not like a super simple open world or like a familiar. It's a strategy game. You've played a little bit of it, and I love it. Long-time fans of the pods would know that I'm a big strategy game guy, so I love the turn-based shit. It's also a card turn-based game and Slay the Spire, anyone? Let's go, dude. Now I'm getting all steamy-deed. So it's a lot of things I like. And what has really gripped me, which I thought I would give zero fucks about, is the relationship system and talking to the different superheroes in between missions. That has been way more rewarding and cool and interesting.
Oh, that's interesting for you to say, because at one point you told me you had mentioned that some of that was getting a little, maybe it's because you had to redo something, but you had mentioned that it was a little frustrating.
Classic when gaming since I was born and I didn't save well enough and I had to reload an older save point. And it was some
tedium. I see.
Some tedium for sure. No, I love it, dude. And it's like, I am a huge comic book kid. Like I read comic books at various phases, like in throughout college. And then the MCU, I absolutely loved it at first, but I was like one of the first people to get super burnt out by it. And this game has me like looking up, seeing if I can find like a good run of like a graphic novel of something or like of like a Blade comics. And I've never cared about Blade as a character, but Blade's really cool in this game. And I've never
Blade movies are tight, dude.
Dude, I've never seen him. I was super young when I came out. I was super young when I came out. And like I have no allegiance. I never bought a Blade comic. I can't think of all the comics I've bought, and I've bought hundreds. I cannot think of a singular Blade reference or appearance. So like the fact that I'm like, dude, what's up with Blade? Like, let's see if I can get it. And it turns out he's not like super prolific within like different runs. Not the most used character. But anyway, sick game, dude. Full send. A little bit of a hidden gem, which is kind of hard given the nature of anything Marvel these days. It's on sale all the time because it underwhelmed. It's made by Fire Axis, which makes Civ, so I'm already Fire Axis.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, so I'm perhaps not the best person to talk to about it. I think the combat's good. The mission structure isn't too wild between the different types of missions, so it's really the gameplay loop of doing the missions, interacting with the heroes, building up your relationships. There's all these different upgrade systems, which are actually kind of exhausting for a little while, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty great, and it's just a full send recommend for me. Love it. And then the only other Steamy D game I'm playing is Cursed to Golf. Have you played any of that? I know you bought it. Have you actually played it? It's hard.
Dude, I went kind of hammer on the Steam sales, so I've got my backlog is bloating right now. But I have a little bit, not much. I just wanted to give a little flavor of it. And I need to give it more time. I can tell that I'm going to like it a lot. I like a good golf game. It takes the format and does some fun stuff with it. It's not like golf.
And it's side to side.
Yep.
So it's really cool. I like it. It's fun. It's a nice change of pace. I like it when I'm like watching football or something passively.
Sure.
Just some quick hitters because I spent a long time talking about how much I liked Marvel Midnight Suns.
Dude, let me say on Marvel Midnight Suns real quick. I played about an hour, hour and a half of it, and I am really with you 100%. I'm down, dude. But my biggest gripe with it is that it doesn't let you it doesn't let you pause during the cutscenes.
Yeah,
dude. So like that story stuff. Dude, and I can't believe they haven't patched that yet, because that is 100% the reason that I was like, I can't play this game, because I have a newborn. And it's one thing if I can pause whatever's going and then set down, because I'm playing on the deck as well. You know, you pause it and you come back to it. Cool. But dude, like I was missing story bits and stuff because I would pause it, or I would even try and put my Steam Deck to sleep. And when I would take it off of sleep, it would have passed whatever cutscene was going on. And it's not like you necessarily need those cutscenes, but no, I try and play a game like that without being able to see the cutscenes.
Yeah, I would say that there's like, I haven't had the same issue, and I'm usually the biggest stickler for that. I will say it still annoys me.
I was trying to play the game when my boy, like, he's gotten a nice groove, but when I was trying to play, he was a little bit more, you know, labor intensive. So,
yeah, no, when you get into a nice little routine around his sleep and you get a little bit more, I think it's a surefire pickup. I should have probably made it the game of the month, but just wanted to get into that juice on, and I wanted to get something I knew I'd beat. And I'm not even close to being done with Midnight Suns. Real quick on the Daddy Xbox, the Lumberjacks have moved on from Alaska. We brought the title to Anchorage, but we've moved again. We're now in Mexico City, and we're the Armadillos. The jerseys are hilarious because it looks like McDonald's colors. It's like yellow and red, and just the tone of McDonald's colors. It just looks like I'm the Mighty McNuggets or something out there, and it makes me laugh all the time.
Is this a new franchise, or did you move the team?
It's the same. I just moved them again. Wow. There's no like penalty for it this year. They just kind of let you.
Those poor Anchorage fans, bro.
Dude, I brought them a title or two. What else could they ask for? You know.
I don't know.
They can take a trip down to sunny Mexico to see their team play down there too. It's still Madden. It's still just mindless gaming, and I still enjoy myself. Doesn't matter. Lastly, though, before my Xbox Game Pass expires, I am getting some tread on a Roller Drome. Mm. Shouts out to Ace. Hit him with the noise, Alex. He's got a real big boner for this game. It was in his top 10 that he dropped into the Discord. Nice little writing, Ace, except for the weird formatting of your numbers. I don't know how you made a list.
I think Discord automatically formatted his numbers for him. And instead of going backwards, it thought, it doesn't matter.
What was happening there, Discord? But anyway, he had a nice little list that he was gracious enough to drop with us. And he loves Roller Drome. He really wanted me to play it. It's cool. I suck at it. I still enjoy it. I like doing a little run or two. It's kind of like Tony Hawk meets rollerblade shooting. I don't fucking know.
It's weird, dude.
It's fucking cool though. So if you have Game Pass,
some cool tricks and stuff.
Yeah, and the gameplay loop is just cool. So like, just play it. I don't know. Whoever you are out there, if you were like, "What's this about?" Just fucking send it for a good few hours. It's fun. It's just like great. It's a cool, like, whoever came up with this game idea and then executed the mechanic of it, like, great job. I love the creativity.
It's solid really cool. Physics for what they're doing. It's fun physics. Yeah,
it's really cool. And if you grew up playing them Tony Hawk games, not just like the first two famous ones, but like kind of Tony Hawk 3, like, I like that era. So I thought it was really cool.
Nice. Nice.
All right, man. There's my rants. What do you got?
Dude, I've been side questing. You know, I've been side questing. I've been doing a really good job of
side questing. Is a lifestyle for you, dog. Thursday, you're the wanderer.
I've been doing a good job of wandering, but spending a good chunk of time at each location this time. Sometimes I just, you know, I get a little taste, I move on. This time I've been doing a good job of taking care of business in each of my locations.
We'll see about that.
Well, here's the deal, though. So I'm starting off with some Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Cool game.
It is, but it's not the coolest. It's a nice, like, you know, we've called a couple different Nintendo joints, like, Babies First, you know, like, Babies First whatever. And I feel like this is Babies First tactical game.
It's harder than Marvel Midnight Suns, I promise
you. You think so?
I know so.
I'm about halfway through.
Of which world?
The game.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've looked at how many worlds there are.
Because I played a good chunk of it once.
It's longer than I thought it would be, to be fair.
Yeah,
it's,
this shit's hard. Yeah,
it gets harder. But it gets harder for sure. But you know what? It's one of those things where it's got built-in cheat codes, and that's fine. I like that for accessibility. But it's also one of those things that, like, it's long enough. It's not, I haven't put that many hours into it. It's like, I'm probably like 12 in, something like that. But that's far enough into the game where I feel like I haven't progressed the story or progressed along in it enough. Anyways, it's like, I get to a point where I feel like, okay, like, I want to keep this moving. I want to, like, this is fine. This is fun, but I have other things I want to do. So I want to keep it moving. And then it will let you at the beginning of any battle to basically nerf it, to give you extra your health at 100%, and to give you, I think that does at least that. I can't remember the other. It does two things, I think. But it basically makes it so each battle's easier, and then maybe even too easy. And I think when games become too easy, they also, like, for me at least, like, they also makes it so it's not fun. And because you can't, like, straight, like, because it's so easy, because it's a question. At the beginning, it's like, at the beginning of every tactical fight that you start, it's like, hold A to basically do this. And
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, it's on there
since I picked it up.
But that's just it. It's like one of those things, once you know about, you're like, oh, this one looks kind of hard, so maybe I'll just do it. Like, because I don't know, because it's so accessible. Like, I wish it was harder to like choose. I almost wish that it was like, would make me go into a menu screen to make that choice. And I think that maybe that would, but that, whatever. That's, who cares? I just wanted to bring that one up because I put a chunk of time into it, and I think it is really well done. I just, like, I'm just not sure how I feel about the mid game.
And then two of the same. I mean, the challenge is cool and the maps were cool, but
fun running around that thing. I think like the Rabbids and the Mario mashup is pretty cool, like the animations and everything. It is a dope game, and I would like to roll the credits on it eventually, but it's not something I'm trying to plow through because it feels a little grindy almost, and I'm just not here for a grind.
The next one's supposed to be really good, but I think it also got lost with other games around it. And
right.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, though, those games, like, you know, if you are a tactics gamer, like if you like that kind of stuff, or if you're just interested in it, like they go on some pretty deep discounts all the time. So check them out.
For Nintendo, yeah, they let that Ubisoft sale structure win.
Other two games that I haven't put a ton of time into, but I've been enjoying both immensely. First, Hogwarts Legacy. I know that you're maybe not into it, but you're also a weirdo who never watched the fucking Hogwarts movies, or you've never watched any of the Harry Potter movies. So like, you're maybe not as invested.
I have to do this. I was talking trash at work, talking about how, like, before I was too cool to finish the MCU. I was too cool to finish the Harry Potter movies. They're like, dude, you're such an annoying hipster. I go, I know. It's part of the personality.
Dude, you're on one
this
though.
This is where it started. I was like, this is where it started. To be honest, I got super burnt out on the movies, and I was fucking sick of the franchise. And I've just
been burnt out on the movies. The original six, which I think they did seven or something like that.
I think I made it to four. I don't even know if I've seen four. Three might have been the last.
Dude, you're a wild one. You read all the books, didn't you?
100%.
All right. Well, the movies are actually a good adaptation of the books. And you know what? J.K. Rowling,
I don't know.
She kind of sucks. But like, that's right. What she created with the story. Pretty cool. Actually, if you like pick it apart, there's some shit that kind of sucks in there too. But like, whatever. Yes. I digress.
It's great world building.
Right. And you know what? So this game, it is, you know, it's open world. It's fun. It's fun to be running around Hogwarts. It's fun to be doing the magic stuff. Like, it is fun. And I wanted to, the one thing I want to play, because like, I put a couple hours into this game, and I'm going to like work my way through this one, because I think it's a cool one. But what I wanted to bring up, dude, is I got sorted, right? They sort you at the beginning of this game.
Hufflepuff, because you're dumb as fuck, ain't it?
Dang, you hating on all the Hufflepuffs. Here's some love to all the Hufflepuffs out there. Like, jeez, listen to Luke over
love
here.
Love to the Hufflepuffs?
Yeah, a lot of houses got love for all the houses.
Hufflepuffs are the participation trophy of Hogwarts. They're like the, you just made it in, God bless you, you little one. They're the dumbest house. Oh my God.
Hey, if you're a Hufflepuff, I love you.
Out of school if you're a Hufflepuff, dude. They're just
anybody
dude,
listening
they're just
is like...
You. They're milking Alex, you for tuition, brother. They're milking you for tuition. Continue.
Yeah. This isn't going to make any sense after that, as I'm like holding it down for the Hufflepuffs, but I got sorted into Slytherin for the first time in my life. Dude, yes. I've done a variety of different sorting hat deals throughout the years.
To sort you?
They ask a couple questions. There's a couple questions.
All those sorting things were always set up to give you the answer that you wanted. So of course you were.
Yeah, of course. It's like a personality test. So they ask you questions that like lean towards whatever, you know, whatever house. But it's, I think there was like ambition was one of the things I selected for this game. Like, I think that like pushed me towards Slytherin.
You're
like,
you're going to lose to your little brother in a video game. Do you hit his controller because losing to him is death? And you're like, yes.
Nah, dude. But dude, it's funny. So I'm totally about it though. I'm like, you know what? Because every other sorting thing I've ever done, I've landed in Gryffindor. Proud Gryffindor over here. But I tell you what. Landed me in Slytherin, and I was like, you know, I can roll with this because they actually give you the option to like, you know, I don't like where that's sorted me. So like, I'll go wherever.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to embrace this. So I'm going at the game and I'm role playing like a morally ambiguous wizard that will ultimately be good in the end. I don't want to go towards the dark wizarding world, but I want to dabble in it. And I want to do some questionable choices from time to time.
I think
it's very Snape of me.
I think the next game they make is going to be an absolute heater. I think this game was really good. And it sold.
Yeah, I've seen some rumblings. I think they might have just announced something.
This game sold like crazy for like 2 years straight now. So like I think this game was similar to, and I've mentioned this before, but like Assassin's Creed 1 was like a good idea and then it just wasn't perfectly executed, and then 2 came out and it was a heater. Like Mass Effect famously it was really good for 1, but everyone's like, oh, 2. I think this game, the second game, will be way better. So I look forward to it. Maybe I'll jump in there, but if I sort me into Hufflepuff, I'm auto sorting into Lily.
He's like, you know what? I sort into never playing this game, never watching Hogwarts. Dude,
roll my controller at my Xbox and not play anymore. Continue.
Third major side quest, a game called Returnal. So this was a PS exclusive, but it came out to PC not too long ago. I scooped it during the Steam sale and I haven't put a ton of time into it. But it is really good. And it is pretty much just roguelite Metroid, dude. It's just roguelite Metroid.
I know it's a hell, isn't it?
No, it's roguelite Metroid, dude. So like basically it's third person. You go in this, you crash your ship or whatever, and you're in this alien planet. And you go out and you basically run around. You start to run into like these bodies that you find out are you. So it's on a death loop thing. Like Enter the Gungeon, almost like Enter the Gungeon. So there's a death loop type deal.
Yeah.
So basically, when you die, you go back to the ship, everything starts over, and she's starting to figure it out. But dude, it's okay. Clearly, it is, you know, the controls are really nice. The thing moves, the shooting's really great. It's all like, it's more polished than any Metroid game that's ever been out there. But you look at the map on your screen and how that is.
See a head left and you have ship.
You can. It's not 2D though. So so it's 3D game. Nice little joke. I get you. But yeah, dude, you're
so serious. I was like, dude, that was a good Metroid joke. Fuck off.
But dude, it's just funny though, because even the way the map, it looks like a Metroid map. It's like very Metroid Prime map. You know, you get suit upgrades, you're going around, dude. It's like it's pretty
just
much
because you're a space lady doesn't mean this Metroid
dog. Dude. I mean, that's a pretty big Metroid flavor, but you're like upgrading your suit. You have these like different doors that open like the Metroid doors, dude. But it's tight. That doesn't belittle the game. And that's not actually a knock on it. Cause I love Metroid.
A sick comp. I think any developer would be like, cool. I just made another Metroid. That's great.
Dude. And I'm looking forward to playing more. And it's, but my biggest side quest that I had is I rolled the credits on a game called The Forgotten City, which is a really fun one that was recommended by the homie Ace.
Boing. Yeah, he loves that one forever.
Dude, I know. I can't even remember. Like, I think he told us a long time ago in the Discord, check out this game. And I was like, yeah, I got a big backlog. We'll see. And then...
you did take your time getting there. Because even I played it. It was like, it's cool. And you're like, I'll get there soon.
Well, dude, you've got a big backlog. I know, but I did get there, dude. And at first I was like, I don't know, the dialogue's a little clunky. It definitely, I played on the Steam Deck, which is great. And man, it really grabbed me. Like the mystery of it all, really quite good. There's not a lot of combat. There is some combat in there, and some of it's actually optional. But
are you gonna go back and like uncover more of the stuff? Or are you like pretty like, because that's the thing is like he went back and like dug in and found all these different alternate things, and I was just like, that's a cool story. And he's
I'm not gonna drop too many spoilers for the folks, because it is a super easy to spoil game, but there are alternate endings, and I'm going to, which is a spoiler in itself, so sorry about that, folks, but here's the deal, whatever.
It's a time loop.
So just paired up. I'm going to go back and figure him out to not give too much into it, but I am going to continue a little bit, but I also have a save point that's like right at a pivotal point where you can do a couple different things. And I kind of exhausted a lot of different of the options before deciding how I wanted the end game to roll out. So I'm in a good point where I can go back and pretty much get those final, you know, all the different branches tied up pretty quickly, I think.
Nice. I'm not always the biggest reader or dialogue guy when I play games, but it was a really fun reading and dialogue game. It was a really
totally
fun choice tree. It started off as a Skyrim mod. You know that, right?
I did know that. And actually, it kind of reminded me how smooth and how nice it is to run around in Skyrim. And I think that they actually in this like did a really good job of, you know, because it's smaller. It's not nearly as big of a map and it's a little newer and polished. So like, but it's like, dude, I know we had like Starfield come out, dude, but it's like I'm ready for a new Skyrim. I think like just polish me up some some Skyrim, or just like throw me back in that world. But that's what was cool about this, dude, is I felt like, you know, it's that you run around in a similar fashion. Like even the combat parts felt like, you know, with the you use a bow and arrow, and like some of that felt like a little Skyrim-y, but a little bit more polished. But it takes a dialogue to the next level because you're really talking to all these different characters, running around, figuring out what's going on with this time loop. And yeah, dude, I really enjoyed that one. That was a major, like, I'm always side questing, dude, but I don't always like just knock one off the backlog during a side quest.
Yeah. And this is the flow of the game is nice. You can play it for 5 to like 25 hours pretty seamlessly, I feel like. So
yeah,
I got like that 5 to 10 hour window and I liked it a lot, but
yeah, it takes about 10 hours to beat.
Okay. Then I at least did that.
Totally. Well, cool, man. That does it.
Announce our next game, Marvel Midnight Suns. Dude, thanks, man. Dude, that's awesome. Dude, can't believe you chose this game, dude.
Nah, we do have a game picked out, though. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready to go back in time for another time loop game. We are playing Majora's Mask.
Yeah, we're Zelda boys, so trotted territory, but just got to get that funky music, dude. Play that fucking music, white boys, dude. It's that game.
I'm excited, dude.
Lippy
stuff. I'm excited.
I have the manga. Do you want to read the manga?
I do.
They actually like. I'm not going to get into it here, but
maybe next time. Tune in next time, everybody. Join us.
It was cool.
Yeah, join us in the Discord. Go to www.low5gaming.com. You can find links to all of our social medias. There's also an invite to our Discord there, where we'll be talking about Majora's Mask. And all our little side quests and other things we got going on. But that is the best place to get at both of us. Luke ain't really participating on any social medias, but he is in the Discord. So if you want Luke's ear, that's a place to get it. Low5 Gaming on just pretty much all the social handles, you know, your True Social, all that kind of bullshit. Yeah, Low5 Gaming.
Secretively. Hey, since we know you listen, LeBron, it was a 2-pointer. Get over it.
Yeah, dog. I see the tape. Your toe was on the line, man.
All right.
But thanks, everybody. If you got this far, we appreciate you. We love you. If you've already given us a 5-star rating on a platform that has ratings, man, I love you even more. Big old fucking internet hug. In this case, your next side quest is to tell one of your friends about us so they can give us a 5-star rating. It helps with the algo, helps us get out to more people, inflate our egos, you know, those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, bro, till next time.
See ya.